The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit RobBlack.com. RobBlack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
So today's probably going to be an interesting show. Stocks are mixed after Israel launches Iran strike retaliation. The S&P 500 looks to end its losing streak as Israeli attacks brings hope for de-escalation of the conflict in the Middle East. Oil prices, higher or lower? What do you think? Iran sent a massive wave of attack directly at Israel earlier in the week, bypassing their Houthis, Hamas, Hezbollah, and other groups who carry out the dirty work for Iran. It was a direct attack. Higher or oil, lower do you think oil is today after Iran was hit by Israeli strikes? Lower. Interesting, right? It just goes to show you that yesterday when you're sitting and watching TV in the evening, CNN goes into war mode. Oh, boy. You know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes it doesn't play out like you think it's going to. So let's talk about the volatile trade that you can expect in the next couple of days. The headline no one wanted to see, Israel strikes Iran. For Iran's drone missile strike on Israel, that was completely ineffective. From the news reporting that I saw, everyone was hoping to hear if there was a strike, that it was going to be very limited. And it didn't cause any real damage. The connection between the two reports out there was made in the Treasury market. Yields down sharply at first before rebounding. The oil market up sharply after first falling. So the 10-year Treasury went lower. Woo, things get cheaper to buy. There is an alternative to saving for income. And then nope. Turned right back around. Same thing with oil. It went higher and then it went lower. Oil was higher by $3 in the middle of the night last night. Let's see where it is today. Right now. Sorry, I've got vocal fry. Oil's up 0.5 cents. So it's making a little move higher, but not much. The 10-year Treasury sits at 4.62%. I believe that any number over 4.5 kind of implies you might as well put that money in the a treasury note or into a money market account, because that's a pretty good return. You're getting almost double what inflation is, depending on what type of inflation you're looking at. I understand. Not a shelter, right? So let's keep moving forward, because we have a limited amount of time to hit the biggies today. So it certainly wasn't the headline that we wanted to. Late last night, stock market won't be flying today. The element of geopolitical uncertainty remains alive and well over the weekend, as does the rate cut uncertainty, with Minneapolis Fed President Kashari suggesting the Fed could possibly wait until 2025 to cut rates. That's pretty interesting. Cutting rates during October, November would be seen as, well, that's kind of a nice thing to do for Biden. I know the Fed Reserve says that they don't look at politics, but a lot of people think that they do. And right now, why cut rates when you have inflation still on shelter? Shelter is the biggest problem at this point in time. And the problem with shelter is you judge it on a year over year level, and people typically sign at least for one whole year, right? So it comes down very slowly as people fall off leases. But there is also, and I did a report earlier this week on it, the cost of home ownership, whether it be insurance or maintenance, homeowners' fees, Property taxes all going higher, all going above 2%, more like 4 to 5% or higher. Netflix topped expectations but issued some relatively disappointing revenue guidance while noting it will no longer provide quarterly membership or average revenue per member. So that's interesting. We used to, Netflix used to grow. They used to jump on subscribers. They had a nice subscriber number this quarter. And I think by saying we're no longer going to provide how many subscribers are out there or what the ARPU is, the average revenue per user, I think they're trying to imply that we're a mature company now. We've got probably as many of the subscribers as we think we're going to get. We'll add some incremental here, some incremental there. We'll have some initiatives that work, some initiatives that don't. They want to be judged for their earnings and not for their subscribers. Netflix is trading down today on that news. Long term, I like Netflix. Short term, it's always going to be expensive. So if you can think of it like, oh, I'll buy it in my kid's account, it'll probably work itself out by the time they get older. I think that's a much better idea. Or I'll buy it in my account, but I'm not expecting a lot for myself. It's something you have to give yourself time on, or buy it in the middle of a bear market. And that never feels good because you never know when it's going to stop. Other earnings reports today, Dow Components, American Express, and Procter & Gamble haven't helped much, even though they were better than expected. American Express is up just about 1%. Procter & Gamble's down about 2.5%. American Express is a big play on corporate America. Small businesses. So today we're reacting to the news that Israel launched an attack on Iran that was ultimately seen as limited. Weakness in mega cap stocks and chip makers. After five glorious months, it's coming off the hot right now. The stove, it's gone from hot to, what? It got too hot there. Let's let it cool. How much is it cooling? 10%? 20%? Would you be comfortable with that? The cooler it gets, the more opportunistic the opportunity to buy on a dip. Buying on a dip of 2% to 5% doesn't really feel like you're getting a sale. 10%? A little bit? 20%? Yeah. Losses in some names that reported earnings are weighing in the markets today. I see NVIDIA down 3.3%, Meta down 3%, Apple down 1%, Amazon down 1.7%, Broadcom down 1.4%. So the semiconductor names and mega cap names under pressure. There's calm behavior in the treasuries. It's one thing that I kind of like seeing. Now, how low can we go? Fundstrat's Tom Lee, who I think is a really interesting dude. When he talks, I listen. He's one of those market strategists who hit last year perfectly. He called an up market. He called an upper market. He called a uppity up market. So he kept getting it right, and he kept becoming more bullish. He says, don't buy the dip in stocks just yet, as a wave of selling is about to bring the market to a bottom. Tom Lee issued a word of caution for investors looking for opportunities amidst the market sell-off. Stocks have slumped after taking a hot inflation report for March, escalating tensions in the Middle East, hawkish guidance for the Fed rate cuts, now calling for maybe no cuts this year. He says, we normally like to buy the dips. As we said earlier this week, the surge in the VIX says we got to take the buying the dip extra slowly. He thinks it's a little more volatile. He thinks the S&P 500 is on track to report earnings growth of over 7%. Thinks the Fed is looking poised to cut interest rates sometime this year, even if rate cuts could be delayed further than investors are expecting. 10. Ultimately, he says he predicts the S&P 500 could hit 5,200 by the end of the year, but has noted there's a chance of 5,500 to 5,700 in a best case scenario. You can find me online at Rob Black Show, Twitter Rob Black Show, YouTube Rob Black Show. Big event coming up in Palo Alto in May 9th, the Elks Lodge. Sign up today at Rob Black Show.
Maybe you feel like you're in good shape for retirement, but have you really taken everything into account? Find out how you're really doing at a wealth preservation and retirement planning event May 9th in Palo Alto, hosted by Rob Black and CFP Chad Burton of EP Wealth Advisors. Rob will provide timely commentary, and Chad will share specific strategies for taxes, income, long-term care, safe money, retirement products, alternative investments, estate protection goals, and more. If you have at least $500,000 in investable assets and want to retire better, pass on your estate, and minimize taxes, this event is for you. Find out if you're on the right track at this free wealth preservation and retirement planning event. That's Thursday evening, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Elks Lodge in Palo Alto. Space is limited, so sign up today at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
So I listened to conference call yesterday with Netflix after the markets closed. Here's some notes for you that are jotted down on my yellow pad. Net additions in the first quarter were an impressive 9.33 million, which was nicely above the expectations and previous guidance for up year over year of about 1.75 million from last year. It's a seasonally slower period due to the post-holidays, but the drop-off from fourth quarter's 13.1 million was surprisingly small. They added 9.33 million. Last year in that same quarter, they added 1.75. That's a big year-over-year jump. Netflix no longer officially guides for net adds, but they did say on the call that it expected second quarter net adds will see fairly typical seasonality. They talked about its crackdown on password sharing, which Netflix called paid sharing, which seems to be working. Advertising was a bright spot in first quarter, up 65% sequentially after two quarters of about 70% sequential growth. Sort of just getting started there. Another metric that jumps off the page is operating margin. It came in at 28.1% versus 26.2% the prior quarter. It also raised, margins are, when you get that big, being able to become more efficiently and use your scale creates better margins. They also raised their 2024 forecast to 25% from 24% on margins. Netflix cautioned that margins could bounce around in any given year with foreign exchange and content spend, as well as other investment opportunities that they may say time to go big on a new game. Stocks lower. Why? It was a great quarter. First off, Netflix is guiding to 2024 revenue of 13 to 15%. It had guided 16% in the second quarter earlier. Doing the math, that means some deceleration in the second half of 2024. They've explained on the call that rolling out paid sharing and launching the ads business led to an acceleration in the second half of 2023. So growth in the second half of 2024 will be lapping some tough comparisons. And they expect foreign exchange has been a bit of a headwind with a strengthening dollar. Second, Netflix said it will no longer provide its paid net ad metric or ARPU. So analysts are going to say, we're going to value you more on earnings versus on new customers. Last year, it stopped guiding for net ads. And in the first quarter of 2025, it'll stop reporting the metric altogether. Netflix explained that it's evolved its pricing and plans with multiple tiers with different price points across its different countries. That historically simple math is increasingly less accurate of member times dollar of monthly service. It will continue to guide on revenues, operating margins, net income, earnings per share, free cash flow. It also said they'll add annual revenue guidance. So am I bullish on the stock or bearish? Let me give you a little bit of insight that I wrote later in the afternoon. They did really well in the United States and European markets, and stronger than expected ARPU, successful fourth quarter price hikes in the United States, the UK, and France. They seem to have the ability to raise prices, and we go with it. When will there come a pain threshold when the content no longer matches the quality of expectations for a price hike? They've got Bridgerton coming out. They've got Wednesday, and they have Stranger Things 5. Bridgerton coming out next month, Stranger Things 5, and Wednesday coming out in 2025. They've got a Love is Blind UK coming out later this year. They have enough content that some of it is not my thing. I'd give you $1 million if you catch me watching Love is Blind. It's not going to happen. But when you talk to friends, it's like, oh yeah, my wife or my sister really likes that show. And you're like, ooh. I really like the free cash flow. It's abundantly clear that Netflix is demonstrating massive scale. It continues to produce strong subscriber results and free cash flow with the ability to invest and accelerate that growth. For instance, in 2025, they're bringing the whole WWE television package there. And that's a year away, right? 8 months. And we just saw the WWE have their most successful event ever. And those numbers are growing 30-40% per year. I know wrestling's fake, but I want to say boys 10 to 25 love it. And those are people with money. So what happens with the competition? The Disneys, the FXs, the Max, HBO Max. Well, they can't do what Netflix is doing. The clear leader is Netflix, right? That increasingly means that they will resort to selling their formerly exclusive library of content to Netflix. Because they're not getting the performance of their content that they want, so they have to maximize it by selling reruns of their old shows. Well, not necessarily needed by Netflix, other streaming players, media players, have no choice but to continue to sell their premium library content to Netflix to offset their own poor returns in streaming and to tap into Netflix's 500 million plus viewers to increase the content value, as they see with Netflix's Suits. So Suits was a huge winner during the writer's strike for Netflix, and it happened to be, I think, an old TNT show. And now there's to be a spinoff made of that because Netflix had created such a bigger audience for it. Oh, and it starred Meghan Markle. It didn't star Meghan Markle, but it has Meghan Markle in it before she became a princess.
One.
So using other people's content like Game of Thrones and Suits, it adds value to Netflix services with high subscriber growth, reducing churn, increasing ARPU, average revenue per user. The low and disappointment disclosed within the results last night that caused the stock to pull back was their decision beginning in 2025 to no longer disclose subscriber growth. If they have 500 million subscribers, I'm okay if they don't tell us everything. As long as they're giving us operating income margins, earnings per share, free cash flow, revenue, I have enough to model something on it. What's the price target? I can see it as an $800 stock in the next 18 months. Will it get there straight line? No. Is it something you should look at? Maybe. But you got to give it 2 years because you're not buying it for today. Everyone knows about the company. You can find me online at Rob Black Show, Twitter Rob Black Show, YouTube Rob Black Show. Got a big event coming up in May in Palo Alto. Sign up at robblackshow.com.
Don't want to work forever? Check out the retirement planning guide on robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Let me get you a little depressed. Have you heard the term ALICE? An acronym. What does the acronym ALICE stand for? There's a lot of acronyms, right? FOMO, fear of missing out. OMO, okay missing out. What is TINA? You know TINA? There is no other alternative, so you have to invest in stocks when bond rates were so low. But now with bond rates higher, there is another alternative. ALICE, what does the acronym stand for? Do you know? It is a group of Americans who are asset limited. That's the AL. Income constrained, the IC, and employed. Most ALICEs earn too much money to qualify for government assistance, but not enough to afford daily life in the United States. I get that. A good friend of mine, his income has suffered because the industry that he's in, tied towards mortgages, has caused his family's, revenue to go down 50%. And when you talk to him, you're like, you going on vacations this year? He's like, nope. What's your kid doing this weekend? He's got a friend coming over to sleep over. I wish I could take them to dinner, but I can't. So I get what an ALICE is, and it's a little discouraging, right? And that's why I do this show. I want you to be able to afford your rent and your groceries, maybe a mortgage. I don't want you falling through the cracks of the safety net in the United States. ALICEs are asset limited, income constrained, employed. Typically, where do you fall into the, where does poverty fall into? again, it depends on what state you live in, right? For the federal government, for a family of four, $31,200 is the number. But in a city like San Jose, 10 years ago, that number was about $85,000. About 29% of households are ALICEs, while 13% are below the federal poverty level. Many government initiatives have tried to help people rise out of poverty still. Poverty level is outdated in many ways as it doesn't account for regional differences like I was talking about and how people have to budget for food. Poverty shares across the United States have been falling, but the number of ALICEs have been rising. People just can't get that little extra. They're definitely not saving money and they're definitely not going on vacation. I throw it out there for you. This is capitalism is an unbalanced system. And sometimes the poor get taken care of while the rich get taken care of. And the middle class bifurcates between the lower middle class, the middle class, and the upper middle class. I'm seeing a little bit of that right now. I got a really good email from Rhonda yesterday. And you can email me, rob@robblackshow.com, rob@robblackshow.com. She had a question on stock splits. She says, I tend to think this allows retail investors and employees of a company a chance to purchase more shares in the company's stock purchase plan. Recently, Chipotle announced a 54-1 split. The CEO's 10-year plan is to open 300 stores every year. I always thought Chipotle was expensive to buy, but now it's looking more affordable. Any opinions? She goes, Walmart did a 2-for-1 split. The last split was 25 years ago. What's your take on company splits? Do you think NVIDIA will split? So she started asking a lot of questions. Splits don't change the value of a company in any way, shape, or form. It's all psychological. If you're a Chipotle Mexican Grill employee, you could say, I want to invest $100 of my paycheck into stocks, into the company-owned stock. Remember how earlier this week I did a story how there's an employee at NVIDIA who got a 15% discount on the stock because he worked there, and he kept buying more. And buying more and buying more. And it ultimately becomes $68 million. And getting a 15% discount on a stock is pretty nice if you like the stock. The stock split's not going to make a difference. If you put $1,000 into NVIDIA, you might get 1.1 shares if it's at $900. They'll give you the fractional share. Same thing with Chipotle. So it doesn't change the value of the company, the market cap. Psychologically, it does have that benefit of things must be going well. The stock's been going higher. Things must be going well. But you don't really, you shouldn't really care about retail investors. You should care about institutions. I work for an institution. I care more about quality of company than I do about the price. I don't care. And let's just say, let's use Meta. To me, when Meta said that they were going to do a year of efficiencies, and they implied that means firing people and getting cost out of projects that are out of control, under control. That to me said, how many people do they have on their platforms? A billion? You take that billion, Netflix has 500 million, Spotify has 250 million. That's what I'm looking for is that number, not the price of the stock. I'm looking for how many users are using the platform. And then you get a CEO who says, we're going to be more responsible. I haven't seen the numbers of how many people use Google products from Google searches to Google Word to Google's Excel product to Google Cloud, to Google Drive. But that's a big number too, right? What I care more about is that big total addressable market. I don't care about the price of a stock. Do I think it would be cool if NVIDIA split their stocks? Sure. But cool doesn't mean it's a reason to buy it. I want how big of a market do they have? Who's the leader? What are the margins? Are they improving? What's the CEO all about? Does he have past success? So I really, really, really appreciate the email question, Rhonda. And I think you're picking some really great companies. She's right. Chipotle is opening more stores next year, 300 of them. And it's an affordable meal. that's pretty darn tasty. I would say it's not quite fast food. And when you go into Chipotle, like, the guacamole is lovely, right? Who doesn't love guac? I'll tell you who doesn't love guac. People who don't eat guac, who think it looks green and gooey, but it's green and delicious-y. So I think Rhonda's doing a great thing with her question. But stock splits aren't important. They don't change the value of the company. Look for other quality metrics versus the price. For instance, let's say I met Rhonda when we were 20 years old and I'm the nicest guy. I'd open doors for her and I'd pay for dinner and I'd listen to her and ask really good questions. How much would she pay for me? $100 or $1 million? And then for the next 40 years, we grow old together. We laugh and we walk on beaches. But am I worth $10 billion at that point? Look for quality. Don't worry about the price. It's going to be your last decision. Now, you've identified some great companies. So what I would say now, when you look at a Walmart, a Chipotle, or an NVIDIA, you say, I like those companies. They satisfy Rob. They satisfy me. They have the metrics of what he likes. And there's down market. Israel bombs Iran. Iran bombs Israel. They've been throwing sticks and stones at each other in that region for 2,000 years. Now they're throwing ballistic missiles. If it causes the market to correct, I'm okay with that. I used to say, and this is kind of insensitive now, that the person who made me the most money on Wall Street, it wasn't Warren Buffett. It wasn't Peter Lynch. It was Saddam Hussein, because every time he would freak out Americans by invading Kuwait or by rattling his saber that he's got missiles, that he was going to blow up Israel, oil would go high and the stock market would go low, maybe 10-15%. And then remember the Iraq War I with Daddy Bush and Iraq War II with George Bush Jr.? That scares people seeing tanks rolling. But both were buying opportunities. And in a horrible, horrible, inappropriate, I would say, man, I wish they wouldn't have caught that man, because if he started Iraq War III, I would have made even more money. I was trying to show the value of the lesson that things pass. But Rhonda, if you're able to get a great company at a discount due to the market being irrational, overselling at times, and overbuying at times. So I've been sitting on a mountain of cash for me, and I like market pullbacks, because then I can look at companies like Netflix that I didn't own and I can go, okay, is this enough or do I want lower? For me, I look at Wall Street as maybe some people look at purses, or some people look at video games. Like, for instance, my kids don't like buying video games the first year that it comes out. They wait for they get to patches and get better. And then they buy it at a Christmas sale or a summer sale for 50% off. 50% off is better than full price. Now, with great names, do you get 50% off? Typically not. We did in 2022. And in 2020, when the market pulled back aggressively and hard on word of COVID, we've had two big years of pullbacks. So they happen on a pretty regular basis in the last 4 years. We've had two.
30.
To me, a great company that you're proud of with metrics that mean something to you and me is more important than getting the price at $10 versus $100, because it's the same company. Stock splits don't mean much. But thank you for the question. And we should have met, 30 years ago. You can email me, Rob, at robblackshow.com. Big event coming up in May in Palo Alto. Sign up for the event at robblackshow.com.
For more information about EP Wealth, visit robblack.com. That's robblack.com.
So I'm talking with my bosses at EP Wealth about starting another podcast that's off air and only in the world of podcast. Maybe about a month. It could be starting up probably 2 months, because it's supposed to start up in March. And look where we are now. I would love feedback. One of the initial thoughts I was going to do was how I created wealth in my life. And the more I thought about it, I'd rather talk about what wealth management's about and how to get there and throw in some of me on occasion. But like that email on that I just read, I think that's great content. And I really appreciate Rhonda, you know, emailing me, rob@robblackshow.com. I hope everyone who's listening right now asks questions, and we don't have to have the same answers, but I hope you get like a good second opinion. And I'll always, always try to do that for you. Some stories out there. Procter & Gamble sales disappointed as price hikes are slowing down. You know that in the last 4 years, you've heard about inflation and what companies like Procter & Gamble, they make things like shampoo, face oils. I'm not that face oils. I don't even know what I'm talking about there. I'm trying to say like stuff, face creams. They make fabric and home care, Febreze, Swiffer, Gillette razors, Venus razors, Venus for the ladies. So in the last couple of years, we know what they've done. Instead of selling 12-ounce bottles, they've kept the price at 10. And then when that kind of lost a little bit of its effect and kept earnings high, they raised the price from $1 to $1.10. So now you're getting a smaller version and a more expensive price. And those benefits are, and I know it's a weird word using benefits there, right? Those perks are starting to wear off now. Company's prices are up 3% compared with a year ago. There's a lot of Alice's in the world. Remember that term that we started playing with today? And this is an area where people can cut back on. Alice is an acronym for people with asset limited, income constrained, and employed. They're doing the best they can, and maybe they go, you know, I'm going to go with the generic bar of soap versus the brand bar of soap. And I get that too. So Tom Lee predicted that markets could hit a tough spot within the next month or possibly sooner. Assuming the Middle East conflict does not escalate further, volatility eases, investors show signs that they're slowing their pace of selling. He thinks that pullback is a very good because it's providing good entry points. I like the way Tom Lee speaks. I like the way you say that. The S&P 500 is on track to report 7% earnings year over year. That's a good number. It's not a great number. It's a very good number, though. Vanguard is warning that the treasury market is nearing levels that risk triggering a large sell-off. I think this one's worth talking about for uno momentero. And what this means to me is as the treasury market went from 4.8% to 4.7% to 4.6 to 4.5, 4.3, 4.2, 4.1, we got all the way down to 4. Stock market rallied from October, November, December, January, February, right? And then we get three straight months of inflationary numbers in January, February, March. And the 10-year treasury is like, oh, 4 is a little too low. Let's go back to 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4, 4.5. So the tide that brought stocks higher is now pulling back because, and it's moving towards, oh, a 10-year treasury looks attractive, or a 1-year treasury, 2-year treasury, or a CD, or a money market fund, or something along those lines. As the 10-year treasury went lower, you're starting to look at dividend stocks and going, oh, that stock has a little bit of growth and a dividend that's pretty darn similar to the 10-year treasury. I'm going to move my money from the treasury, cash essentially, or cash equivalent, into an equity. So if we do see another inflationary number, you're going to see the 10-year treasury tick, 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 up to 4.6, up to 4.7, up to 4.8. Now, again, we think inflation is under control, but 3 months in a row, it really hasn't been. So Vanguard is saying if we hit that 5%, it's going to trigger a large sell-off in the stock market. And people are going to pile into treasuries. Again, this is why working with a financial planner makes a lot of sense. Because it's probably better to have a diversified portfolio that has exposure to income, that has exposure to lower volatility items. That's not all high growth. It evens out your blend. Yeah, it may limit you to 10% returns versus 15, but those 15% returns, when they go down 5%, that's tough to recover from. It's worthy of noting, okay? If you want to talk about what a financial planner can do for you, drop me an email, rob@robblackshow.com. I can show you how you will add probably another 1% to 5% to your net worth in your lifetime, if not more. I see a lot of people who are wealthy off 10 tech names that just continue to ride that out. I don't think that's a great idea. I see people who are 65 years old and have 80, 90, or 100% of their money in stocks. Hey, look, I didn't own any sort of fixed income until 54 years old. From age 20 to 54, I was like, no bonds for me. No treasuries for me. I'm not going to leave a large amount of cash in a money market because it wasn't worth it. The 10-year treasury was usually at 3.5% or lower in the last 20 years. But now that it's above, it brings up the discussion. And again, I'm using some numbers that aren't exactly completely fact-checked, but they're pretty close. So the decision to stay all in stocks might end up hurting you if we're in a prolonged period of higher interest rates. And trust me, 5% interest rates are not high. But we seem to be getting inflation in the right direction, except for the recent, it wasn't a blip. 1 month is a blip, 2 months is a blip, 3 months is a bump, except for the recent bump in inflation. If you want to learn more about what I'm talking about, we're going to have a big event coming up May 9th. It's going to be in Palo Alto at the Elks Lodge. Great parking, easy to get to off the 101. Take off from work a little bit early. It's 6:30 to 8:30 with me and CFP Chad Burton. I'll talk about stocks that I'm currently buying and holding, stocks that I'm looking at, and much, much more. You can sign up for the event May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30, Wealth Preservation Retirement Planning with CFP Chad Burton. It's one of the last few ones that I'm going to do. I'm going to do about 18 more months of them, and then I might be done. You can sign up at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Maybe you feel like you're in good shape for retirement, but have you really taken everything into account? Find out how you're really doing at a wealth preservation and retirement planning event May 9th in Palo Alto, hosted by Rob Black and CFP Chad Burton of EP Wealth Advisors. Rob will provide timely commentary, and Chad will share specific strategies for taxes, income, long-term care, safe money, retirement products, alternative investments, estate protection goals, and more. If you have at least $500,000 in investable assets and want to retire better, pass on your estate, and minimize taxes, this event is for you. Find out if you're on the right track at this free wealth preservation and retirement planning event. That's Thursday evening, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Elks Lodge in Palo Alto. Space is limited, so sign up today at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.